start with Luke, the 17th chapter and the 11th verse. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go shew yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." It's been several weeks since we read this passage, and we thought about that, and we've heard it many a time. I know it's the only of the four Gospels, it's only mentioned here in Luke. The healing of the 10 lepers, and we know that and Matthew was more geared to the Jews, that it had more of their customs, and it was seems like that Matthew was wrote for, though it's wrote for us all, that it was specifically sent to the Jewish people. We don't know why it wasn't mentioned in Matthew, but we find it here in Luke, and we find it to be an interesting bit of circumstances that we find these 10 lepers. This was a custom that we know that if you study out in the Old Testament, this was a custom that was only to our knowledge with the Jews. Now, granted that there was many a nationality where people got leprosy. And leprosy was considered to be contagious, so we know that it wasn't only the Jews that shunned, as it were, the leper, but anybody that had any fear of catching a disease that could not be cured sent their lepers to dwell, as it were, afar off. We know that they, according to tradition, that they lived outside the cities. A lot of time they rummaged through the dump yards where they threw their trash, where they threw their refuse, because they had no means in which to make a living, for who would hire a leper to do anything? And because of these dire circumstances, I'm sure that there was many a leper that found himself amongst companions, if you can call it that, that would no otherwise be there, except for the common thing, that thread, as it were, that held them together, and that was leprosy. That there was the rich that dwelt with the poor. There was those that were prominent in the community, and those that were drunkards, those that were of the baser sort. Although they dwelt outside the city, they heard Jesus' name, and they cried out to Him from afar off. And what did He tell them to do? Go show yourself to the priest, and on they went. I imagine that Samaritan followed those other 9, because it's the use to go as they were together. And maybe it occurred to him, I ain't got no business of going to a Jewish
peace. Because Jesus went and told them of the tender was only one. That went to the high priest. That Paul talked about in Hebrews, the third chapter. That when he came to Jesus, I believe he seen him. There is one. That Paul talked about. Not a priest after the order of Aaron. But the Bible says a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That Samaritan had no business to stand before a Jewish priest. But he found himself right there standing before Almighty God in the flesh. And he bowed before him. The Bible says if you don't want to turn there, we could turn there to Hebrews in the 4th chapter in the 14th verse. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. All right now, had the Samaritan followed those other nine, he'd have stood before a priest who had considered him unclean before he had his leprosy. Consider him still yet unclean. He was to make the observation that he had no leprosy. Why? Because he was a Samaritan. What about to be done well with? Not a stranger as it was. What not to be brought within the congregation of God. But the Bible tells me you want to turn. We can turn there. First Peter in the 2nd chapter of the 9th verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. This Samaritan, though he would stand before an earthly priest, would have still yet been considered unclean, though he'd been touched by Jesus when he come to the high priest after the order of Melchizedek and bow and worship him for who he was. He found his ultimate healing, and each and every one of us can as well, not only to acknowledge him as Gentiles as our high priest, but the Bible says that we could be chosen, we could be called out to be a part of that royal priesthood. I'm thankful that the Lord, when he met me on my way, he didn't tell me to go and find my healing somewhere else. Men and women, I go to and fro in this world looking for the answers here, the answers there, even when the answer to their problems can be found in God's Word. I'm thankful that Samaritan didn't belong there with those other nine lepers, but he wanted to see the one that changed his life in the physical. And in doing so, I really truly believe he found something more than those other nine found when they went to that priest. Because had they went to that priest and began to tell him just what had transpired, that priest would have told them that Jesus Christ was a fellow they should avoid. Oh, we know that the organized church at that time even accused Jesus Christ of casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub. So there they went to a priest that no doubt would deny or diminish what had taken place Although he could have obviously seen that, look, I know I once declared you unclean, and I see now that you're clean. He would have took issue with the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But I'm thankful that when the Lord spoke to my heart, he didn't tell me that I needed to surrender my heart to listen over there or to listen over here. But what he said was, I need to follow his word. And in doing so, he placed me in a church where I could do that. But you know what, this world today, they want to be independent. They don't want to follow man. And I reckon that's all right. But they don't want to follow God neither. Or anyone that he would place in their life as his mouthpiece. But I'm thankful that if we come to Jesus Christ and see him as that high priest, that we can become one of those that is considered as chosen people. You know, unfortunately today, we live in a world where there is many wolves in sheep's clothing. But you know what? The truth is where you find it as well. I know as well that wisdom is found. It's where you find it. You know, you can take the most wicked outcast, a drunkard, and if you listen to him because of his experience,
it is amazing how he might speak words of wisdom. I can remember in particular hearing about one that would talk about a man that would get drunk, and when he did, he was considered a crime drunk. And he'd sit around and talk about all that he should do for the Lord and how people should live for him. You know what? I would suggest you taking spiritual advice from a drunkard. I would say that it would be a great waste of time to find spiritual advice from anyone stooped in sin. But you know what still yet remains to be the truth? Is that wisdom is where you find it. And how we determine whether it's wisdom or not is whether it coincides with the Bible. There are people today that are considered to be so knowledgeable. I find it interesting. My wife, she enjoys going to this thing she goes to every year. She was telling me this morning, I don't understand why they have it at the end of the school year. They ought to have it at the beginning of the school year. She says, because I'm so fired up. But you know, when August comes rolling around, she won't have all that spunk that she's got right now. And I said, well, I don't know why it is that they do it when they do. I think it was because at one point that they coincided this with the graduation that they have for homeschoolers, and that they thought, well, we're going to get together for this graduation. We might as well have this conference and all that. I don't know if that's why they do it or what. But anyhow, I find it interesting that when we go, you know, there's all kinds of different opinions, and you know, it truly is interesting. If you're one that studies what makes people tick, how that they will try to rationalize what they're doing, it doesn't matter. You know, one might decide that you need to teach a child this way, and another might decide that you need to teach a child this way. And what's interesting and unique about those situations is that you can come together in one spot and you can hear a variation of different opinions, and that's all right. I found it awful interesting. One year we went, and this man said that we need to give our children a classical education. He began to talk about the great works in the English language and this and that, and then he began to read from the scripture, and it was some new, I think it was the New International Version. I thought, you know, when it comes to the English language, there's never been a greater book. It was what actually set the English language in concrete, as it were, than the authorized 1611 King James Version.
I said, something ain't wrong here. If this man says, I ought to read Shakespeare, I ought to teach this to my child, I ought to read this great English work and that one and that one, and then he begins to read from some new, I thought, such a me. There's some problem. I was chomping at the bit. I was wanting to ask him, if you give your child a classical education, why won't you read from one of the greatest books ever written in the English language? But you know what? For whatever reason, he might have told me,
that's too hard to understand. You know what? I was raised on it, and I've read a little bit of Shakespeare. Though Shakespeare's wrote in old English, it's a whole lot different than it is to read of the Bible. I can understand the Bible a whole lot quicker, and I can understand some of the flowering ways that they spoke in some of those plays. But you know what? For whatever reason, this man thought that his child needed to be given a classical education, but when it comes to God's Word, they needed something new and improved. You know, there's a lot of people that for whatever reason, that when Jesus tells them to do something, they have in their mind what they think that means. But what they think that means or what reality is two different things. Thankful here that the Samaritan seen that there was no greater priest than Jesus Christ Himself. He didn't have to go far off. He didn't have to go to the next town, or they were no doubt dwelling outside of town somewhere, to find one that could cleanse him. Not one that could save or cleanse, but one that could truly have the ability and the power to cleanse him. You know what? It's nice. It's nice to be in a community. Our reputation, the Bible teaches us, we should be very careful of. And it's nice for people to make the observation. My wife always likes to hear when she goes to town. There's some that huff and puff and look at you like you're weird if you got more than 2.5 children. But you know what? There's others that make the comment or the observation, you have very well behaved children. Maybe sometimes my wife says, you ought to see them at home, or you ought to see them 10 minutes ago. I don't know. But it always pleases her when she hears that. You know what? And I guess it would please me too. When my kids are out with me, we're usually going so fast nobody's going to be talking to us unless it's in line somewhere. But I said all that to say, I'd rather be associated with, I'd rather have Jesus change my life than simply somebody, as it were, those that come to the high priest and said, you're clean. I want a relationship, not with someone that makes simply the observation to say that you're clean, but I want to have a personal relationship with the one that does the cleaning, glory to God. The one that stretched out his arms and died on Calvary so that Daryl could have a family in the first place, so that Daryl could walk free from the bondage of sin, so that Daryl wouldn't have to hide in the dark for what he'd done the day before. And that's the one I want to get to know. That's the one that's worthy to be given all honor. That's the one that said I can join into a community, as it were, a congregation that is a royal priesthood, a chosen people, and a holy nation. That's the difference between going to church and meeting Jesus. And that's what each and every one of us has the opportunity to do if we look to Him for who He is. He's much more than a man that we should meet outside the walls of a city. But He is one that we should allow to dwell in the hearts of each and every one of us. He's one that we should invite to the four walls of our home. He's one that should be our friend. Why? Because what He has done, no other could do. Let's look at it for a moment. That priest had not the ability to cleanse those other nine lepers. But yet they ran to Him instead of running to Christ. All he could do was make an observation and say, yes, you have been cleansed. He had not the capacity to heal them, nor did he have the capacity to make them into what he was. For he was a priest because he was born in the family of Aaron. He could say, yes, you're cleansed, but you can't possibly do what I do. But one knelt at Jesus' feet, not only did Jesus say he was clean, but the Bible tells me that he not only bowed before a priest, but the Bible says a high priest, not after the order of Aaron. For the priest of Aaron would have looked at that Samaritan and said, well, you've been cleansed of leprosy, but you're still unclean, for you're not a Jew. Jesus Christ, because he was the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, as it says in the first part of Hebrews, not only was able to cleanse one of their leprosy, but able to invite them into a family that they otherwise would not have been able to gain access to. That he could have took a Samaritan and made him a member of the family of God. That's a miracle. And he's still yet willing to do that for any who would come and bow at his feet. Oh, the world goes. It's so fascinating. We have my wife has a friend, she's actually a relative that come to our church. And she was raised in a certain religion. Come to our church, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to her heart. And her response to that was, I need to go back to my church. I've been unfaithful to my church. I need to go and be faithful to my church. But her church left her empty years ago, and her church has no capacity nor ability to fill it today. And so time has went by in years, but yet because of how people live in your own county, and you see them because of that they're associates or whatever, a lot of people, once you try to introduce them to Jesus, they go the other way for you to never see them again. But then there are those that reoccur in your life over and over again. And I don't know how faithful this woman has been since she's seen her need to be faithful to her church. But my wife suggested that maybe she could receive a newsletter from our church. After all, she's been there. She's been to several of our children's dedications just to kind of stay abreast of what our church is doing. She received the very first one. She called my wife and she said, I don't want that anymore. I have my own church. Though there's a lot of people that receive the newsletters, never been in our church, and that they're faithful members of other churches. But she, once again, when the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart, her response was, I have my loyalty to my church. I'm going to go to my priest. But if only they could see that to go to a priest who is not Jesus Christ is to leave empty, is to thirst again. But Jesus Christ offered that water to the woman at the well who had a pitcher full of water. But yet he said, I will give you water that you might never thirst again. This was not a needy woman for the physical water that she possessed. But what he offered her was much more than she could ever contain in that water pitcher. And that's what he gave that day to that leper. Was there not 10? But yet just one has come, and him a stranger. He come a stranger, but he left a friend. He left a servant of the Most High God. And the Lord has opened that door to every one of us. We need not go anywhere else but to the foot of the cross to find true, lasting redemption that can change your life and truly change who you are. Let's get some song to sing. You know, me and my wife don't give our children a classical education, as it were. They're not quoting Shakespeare. See, this is how well-versed I am in the classical education. You notice I keep on saying Shakespeare because I don't know of any of the other classical books of literature. So we'll wear Shakespeare out for a little bit. But yet we find that it's very important to hold fast to those things that have been handed down. Not because that tradition is good in and of itself, but that the traditions that we've been handed down, if they coincide with the Bible, and if this very Bible is our tradition, then we need not fear to err. I can remember when I was just a teenager, there was a man that I worked with, and he totally disagreed with what my church taught. He was what was considered a charismatic man, and they prayed in tongues, and they done all manner of different things than we did. And he challenged me, and he says, "Yeah, Darryl, I know that's what your church teaches, or I know that's what your church believes, but is that what you believe?" And you know, I truly believe that even though this man misunderstood the scripture in certain aspects, that the Lord placed him in my life so that Darryl would get into the Word and say, "Is it true? Is it true?" Just like that Samaritan turned and ran to Jesus Christ. I believe he wanted to get to know him just a little bit better. Is this the one, this one that has healed me? Is this the Christ? Is this the Messiah that is going to come to give me access to that holy God that I have been separated from because of the sins of my parents?" And he found that he was that high priest, and that he gave each and every one of us access to the throne of God because of what was done there at Calvary. Have you accepted his blood? Are you willing to follow him? Are you searching out that priest that can offer you nothing but temporary satisfaction?